Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here every day at this time to bring the basic gospel, relevant, personal, and essential into your life. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and our purpose here is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. The phone lines are open now, and we invite your calls. The number 1-800-677-9377 is a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk with you. Well, Bob and Richard, and to everyone listening, happy Monday to you all.
Well, yes, indeed. And today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ. You know, the good news really rests upon him. He is that good news. Jesus Christ is alive. But who is this Jesus Christ? That was the most compelling question of his day. He created quite a buzz, quite a stir, and that conversation has continued right to this day. I mean, everybody is talking about Jesus. Who is he? I mean, Time magazine has an annual edition with that question. I think Newsweek does as well. It's the topic that is just discussed all over the world. Who is this Jesus Christ? And I guess the real important question is, why does it matter? I mean, why does it matter to us here and now? So that's what we want to talk about on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Today's a special day, 40th anniversary of Richard and Lois. And
yes, indeed.
Happy anniversary, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Hardly seems possible.
But it does. You don't.
I was just a mere child of 20 when we got married.
You must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, happy anniversary, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, and what's so exciting about this, I mean, 40 years, that's a milestone. But Jesus Christ was important in your marriage. You answered the question, who do you say that he is? And that became the cornerstone upon which you and Lois built a relationship.
Yeah, if it hadn't been that, given some of the things we went through, I don't know that we would have made it through. As we've both had friends who went through some of the similar things we did, these crises of faith and all of that stuff, and it ended up tearing them apart. And because we already had Jesus, it drove us together. That doesn't mean we always, let's just talk about Jesus. Our kids used to say, would you stop arguing? And we said, we're not arguing. We're talking about Jesus. There was some tough stuff that we had to go through, but it did. This relationship we had with Jesus first drew us closer together and has gotten us through the good times and the bad times and all the times in between.
Yeah, so the question that Jesus asked of his disciples, who do you say that I am, has so many practical implications and applications. And that's one question that we really need to get right, isn't it?
No, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Let's go to Moses in Newark, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
God bless you, brothers. I just have a quick question. I would like to know, why is it that, being that Jesus said, I believe it was in Mark 16, he said, these signs shall follow, you know, in my name they shall cast out demons, shall speak in different tongues, and, you know, you should lay hands on the sick and they shall heal. You know, I believe there's too much worldliness in the world, right? Well, in the church, that's why the signs are manifest. I believe that they're there. But I just want to get your personal opinion. Why aren't the signs manifest?
Well, Moses, thanks for weighing in on today's broadcast and asking that question. He's asking basically about the gifts of the Spirit, those sign gifts that followed the apostles. Certainly, there was this new message that was coming into the world. It was far different than anything anybody had ever heard, and it was the message about Christ. And he was basically saying of himself that he was God in human flesh, and that through him, eternal life could be experienced. And so that was his message. Well, to show people that message had substance, there were miracles and things that Jesus performed. He claimed to be the bread of life, and that followed the feeding of 5,000, and then he underscored that by the feeding of 4,000, that certainly he meets those needs of hunger that we have spiritually. He is the answer. He talked about being the light of the world, those who follow. And so the miracles helped underscore the truths that he was communicating about himself. And then as the apostles took that message out into the world, the message of Christ, they were equipped by the Spirit of God to perform certain miraculous signs, which they did. And that made people stop and say, hey, these guys have something to say. We should listen. And then as time went on, the message just took root. More and more people believed. And so it was believed on the testimony of others. So those gifts were particularly manifested during that early apostolic age. I'm sure in certain parts of the world today, they're still being manifested as God sees fit. Those things are of his discretion, not ours. I mean, we don't pray for those things and ask for those things. God just gives those things as he sees fit. It comes as his discretion. So we just have to trust him with that. What's important is getting out that message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the message regarding Christ Jesus. And so that's why it's important for us to really focus on communicating this gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, Moses?
Quick question. Don't you believe that those signs still could be useful in a society where there's so many different arguments for different gods? Is the God of Islam, the Hindu gods, and so many different religions. Don't you believe that it's useful to show that the God of the Bible is still a God of power? The God, you know, I believe that.
Well, Moses, it doesn't matter what I think on that. If God thinks they're useful in a certain situation, then he will manifest those gifts. So I think we just need to leave all of that up to him. He certainly knows.
We can't say that God wants those things to be manifest.
Well, God wants people to believe in Jesus. That's what he wants. That's his desire. Yeah, so let's just leave it at that, Moses. Yeah. Well, Moses, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate your question. That opens up some lines. 1-800-677-9377.
That's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, by the way.
Yes, indeed. It's kind of interesting on this subject that we're talking about as far as who is Jesus Christ. You look up on the internet, and there's some interesting things that people say about Jesus today, isn't there, Richard?
Yeah, really friendly stuff. I think Jesus might have been a good person in his time. Today, he is a monument to the stupidity of Christians, just like Allah is and the rest of the so-called gods are. Yeah. Invisible friends are a way to cope with stress. It is interesting that we tell children to believe in Santa Claus but send them to the psychologist if they still believe by age 10. If they have invisible friends while young, that's okay, but after age 12, there's a problem. Unless it is a religious figure, then it is okay for some reason? Well, maybe we need some mental reevaluation in amongst these humans. Jesus was a rabble-rouser and a good, smart guy that lived and died about 2,000 years ago. He was often misquoted in the scriptures. How would we know? He was often misquoted in the scriptures that were recopied countless times before the printing press by illiterate scribes. I love that. I mean, the only truly educated people were the scribes. To describe them as illiterate. Misquoting Jesus by it's a guy named Ehrman. Gods were invented by simple minds to explain the otherwise unexplainable. Myth, folklore, legend, and ghost stories. This is, you know, it's sad. It's just really sad that our society is going this direction more and more and more.
Yes, indeed. I mean, Jesus is causing quite a stir, and that's, you know, everybody has an opinion about who Jesus is. So, for one, he's a monument to stupid Christians. He's a made-up character, just a figment of our imagination. It's just amazing what people think. But what about you? That's the whole issue. What about you?
What do you
think?
You
know, those of you listening to this program today, what about you? And what do you say about Jesus, and what difference does it make in your life? Wonderful, wonderful quote by Leo Tolstoy, the great writer, the great Russian writer. He said, "For 35 years of my life, I was a man who believed in nothing. 5 years ago, my faith came to me. I believed in the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and my whole life underwent a sudden transformation. Life and death ceased to be evil. Instead of despair, I tasted joy and happiness that death could not take away." This question is important. It matters. What we say about Jesus truly matters, not only in our eternal destiny, but how we live our lives here and now. So how has this great truth about Jesus, the fact that he is God in human flesh, impacted you? Let's talk about it.
Yeah, 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. We're here every day at this time to address your questions and take you into the Word of God. So give us a call, friends. One more time, that number, 800-677-9377. Guys, just before airtime, I received an email from the National Religious Broadcasters Organization referencing an entertainment source that bills itself as Hollywood, D.C., where politics meets entertainment. And basically what it said is, as other broadcasters urged the Federal Communications Commission to ease up on indecency regulations, Fox urged it to quit regulating broadcast indecency altogether. The quote from Fox: "Fox urges the commission to conclude it is legally required and logically bound to cease attempting broadcast indecency limits once and for all." That was a quote from Fox Entertainment Group and Fox Television Holdings. Continuing the quote, "Time and technology have moved inexorably forward, but the commission's untenable effort to define indecent conduct through a hodgepodge of inconsistent and uneven rulings remains stuck in a bygone era." So what do you guys think about this?
Well, it's just one more piece of evidence that we're moving further and further away from truth. That's where the world is headed. We shouldn't be surprised by that. We should not be surprised by that. This world is under a different influence than God and Jesus Christ himself. The world is in Christ's hands, and his purposes are going to come to fruition in time. But right now, this world system is being dominated and controlled by Satan and lies and all of those sort of things. So we're moving further and further away from that truth. But I would hope that organizations like Fox would stand up and say, we want to bring decent things into the lives of people. But that's neither here nor there. And that's why we need to keep proclaiming this good news about Jesus, because he does make a difference.
Absolutely.
When folks encounter him, their lives are transformed, as Tolstoy said, in his life.
Yeah, and you sit there and you watch TV with your children and grandchildren, and when certain things come up, it's very embarrassing.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, you don't want that type of material coming out over the public airways, for sure.
That's exactly right.
At least I don't.
No, I agree with you.
1-800-677-9377. We have lines for you right now. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to David in Louisville, Kentucky, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, David.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have a quick question for you. In the scripture where it says, whatsoever things you loose on earth are loosed in heaven, whatsoever things you bind on earth are bound in heaven. What does that scripture mean? What context is that used in? What's it talking about? Because I've read several commentaries, and a lot of them differ.
Well, David, great question, and it really fits in with what we're talking about today. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? That's within that context. Jesus gathered his disciples at a place called Caesarea Philippi. He asked this question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And then he turned it upon the disciples and said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter stood up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, he delivered the correct answer. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, this confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So basically, it was Jesus Christ imparting the gospel message to Peter and the disciples. And this gospel message binds up the brokenhearted, and it sets free the captive. That is the power of the gospel. You look around this world today, and you see a bunch of broken people. I mean, they are broken in millions of little pieces. Their lives are shattered. This gospel message picks up all those pieces and puts them back together. Then, as far as being loosed, you look around and you see a lot of people bound up in legalism, bound up by sin and death, bound up by emotions. This gospel message breaks those chains, sets the captives free. And so Peter was given that gospel message, and he was the one that actually carried that gospel message to all the people groups, first to the Jews, then to the Samaritans, and then to the Gentiles. If you follow the book of Acts, you will see that this particular passage really outlines kind of the sequence of the book of Acts. Peter, binding up the brokenhearted, first to the Jew, setting Jewish captives free, then going to the Samaritans, then going to the Gentiles. So that's what this passage is. We've taken it to mean, let's bind up Satan, let's bind up the evil one. That's not what this is all about at all. This is about...
And that's what I was wanting clarification on. Okay, because I've heard many different things, and I'm like, all right, which one does it really mean here? One more quick question, if you don't mind. There's a lot of people talked about Mormons that are Christians. From my understanding, you cannot be a Mormon and be a Christian. Either you're a Mormon or you're a Christian. That is not the same thing.
It is not the same thing. Mormonism rejected Christianity. Joseph Smith went to a bunch of churches in his area. He could never decide what he liked, where he fit in. And so he rejected Christianity and went up and came up with his own religion, basically. And so Mormonism is a rejection of Christianity. It's straying away from the foundation of Christ Jesus. They say something completely different about Jesus than what is revealed in the Word of God. They have their own plan of salvation, which is totally different than being saved by grace through faith. Theirs is a works-based salvation. They believe the Book of Mormon is as authoritative in their lives as the Word of God is. So they put more stock in that than they would in the Bible itself.
What have you found to be the most effective way to witness to a Mormon?
Well, I think you just have to keep bringing them back to Jesus and their own sinfulness. There's no way that we can work our way into a God status, and that's the end result of Mormonism. Jesus was an example. He was a human being. He worked his way up the spiritual ladder and became divine. And if we will follow his example, we can become divine. Well, we're never going to become divine. We're human beings. That's what God created us to be. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we can become fully human. And once we're fully human, we've lived out what God wants for us. So I think we just have to keep bringing things back to Jesus. Who is Jesus? Let me do this for you, David. We have a resource, a great little resource written by a friend of mine, Ron Rhodes, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Mormon. We'd love to put that in your hand. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of that, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your call, David. Sure appreciate it. Yeah. God bless, my friend.
We have some time on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Yvonne in Madison, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine today. How can we help you?
Great. I have a question. I think I know what the Bible says about homosexuality in terms of men being with men and women being with women in a sexual way. But I wonder still if a homosexual confesses Jesus Christ, accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, believes in their heart and expresses it with their mouth, and continues to practice as a homosexual, are they saved? Are they a Christian? Can they be a Christian?
Well, Yvonne, you know, that's something that we can't judge. I mean, we certainly can't see in a person's heart and see what's actually happened there, and we can't really, you know, judge the actual circumstances that they're in. You know, there are many folks that get trapped in sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's some other form of what the Bible would call sexual immorality. You know, they've been in that particular life and flesh has responded in that way for a period of time, and sometimes it's hard to break free. We just don't know that. But I think, you know, as we answer that question, we really have to come back to what we began the program with, and it's this: who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And if you truly believe that he's God, then you need to learn to agree with what he has to say about sin and what it is, how he defines it, and then have to agree with him that the best life that we can experience is through faith in him and allowing him to transform us into his image. And if we will trust Jesus on that and not fight, you know, and say, hey, this is my agenda, I want you to bless my agenda. If we will let go of that and say, Lord, I just want your agenda, whatever that is, whatever that means, I want you to take me where you want me to go. And I am entrusting myself into your hands, and I want your spirit to lead me and guide me every step of the way. If that means letting go of things that I felt were important to me before, then I'm willing to let go. And I think that's the transformation that God does in our lives. And so if we've truly come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and recognize that he is the God of this universe, then I think our hearts are going to start aligning and agreeing with what he has to say about everything, what he says about sin, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication, whether it's any other form of sexual immorality, whether it's greed, whether it's you know, lying and deceitfulness, any of those things. We will come to grips with what God says about it. We will agree with that, and through the power of God's Spirit, learn to let go of that, put off the old, and put on the new. So, Yvonne, somebody who has truly come to Christ, they're going to see some transformation take place and movement away from the old way of life into the new way of life. Well, Yvonne, we sure appreciate you calling in. Great question today. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of The Basic Gospel Journey, our gift for listeners this month on Basic Gospel. So you hold the line.
And we're just about out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're here every day at this time to take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution to your particular issue or your Bible question, and point you to the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we encourage your calls early in the broadcast each day so that we can fully address them and take you into that Word of God. You know, at Basic Gospel, as Bob said, we're closing in on the final days of our free offer for the CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey. Everyone is, of course, on a journey, but not all of us know where that journey is going to take us. This is your invitation to take a journey to life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about your direction in life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. It's a CD message we call The Basic Gospel Journey. It's our gift to you during the month of June. And, of course, there are not many days left in the month of June, so we encourage you to take action right now. Just click A Gift for You at BasicGospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's BasicGospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Now for Richard Piper and for Bob Christopher and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.